Helen Thomas, a legendary journalist, retired yesterday as a columnist for Hearst Newspapers. You know who Helen Thomas is. She's the woman who used to open or close so many presidential news conferences.
Now, Helen, I know that Nancy upstairs would die. She's watching on television if I didn't call on you in that pretty red dress.
Well, very gentlemanly of President Reagan, but after 50 years as a White House correspondent, the end of Helen Thomas's career was ugly. It was sparked by a controversial video that became viral where she was asked by a rabbi, any comments on Israel? Her answers?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments on
that? Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews.
Germany.
Oops. For a look at Helen Thomas's legacy, we are joined by longtime Washington Post columnist Sally Quinn. Hi, Sally. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Do you agree with me? This is sad.
I think this is one of the great tragedies. You know, I have known Helen. I've been at the Post 41 years, and Helen befriended me right when I came, and you know, she was one of the few great women journalists in Washington at that time, and she could not have been kinder and more generous, and she's one of the hardest working and most diligent and respected journalists in Washington. And I died when I heard this remark, because this is not the remark that Helen Thomas made. This is a remark that a 90-year-old woman who has obviously some kind of dementia makes.
Well, right. but that's part of the story here, Sally. I mean,
yeah.
we all hope that we have around us people who
yeah.
will tell us
well,
it's
you know
time
who
to go.
I blamed for this is Hearst.
For keeping her on the books for so long.
Keeping her on, and they kept her on because they were exploiting her as a character.
And I mean, because her name is so well known.
That's right. Her name is well known, and she got to be kind of a cartoon at the end, you know. I mean, she would sort of sit in the front and thank you, Mr. President, and that kind of thing. And she was a legend. But that should have stopped at some point, and it didn't. And I blame them for not protecting her.
How much of it do you think, Sally? You're blaming Hearst, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
How much of it is in fact their fault, and how much is the somehow the filters in our mind? I mean, perhaps she was thinking some of these things all along. Who knows? But she certainly never said them in front of a microphone before.
Well, she told a rabbi, though.
Lynn, you know her, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, you're Jewish.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel that she had a problem with you because of that?
No, not at all.
No. But guys.
Her best friend was Fran Lewin, who she and Fran were the two great women reporters in the old days.
Fran Lewin was the White House correspondent for the Associated Press for a long time.
And Fran and Helen, used to hold court at this Middle Eastern restaurant called Mama Aisha's, you know, and she'd be surrounded by people, and the conversation would be about everything. I never, ever got a whiff from her of any kind of bigotry or prejudice.
Excuse me, the sum of my best friend's defense, I don't know if it flies here. I mean, rule one in journalism, I mean, you can't talk about Jews going home. I mean, the Holocaust didn't happen. I mean, I could have my career right now.
Well, it's interesting, Sally. John and I and a number of us here have been discussing this sort of third rail issue, that there's certain issues that are electrifying that will kill your career. You never, ever touch. This clearly is one of them.
Right. And Helen Thomas would have known that.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
So let's talk a little bit about the good side of her legacy. She really is. Mm-hmm. You said she befriended you.
Yeah.
Legacy
Wait,
for
please, Lynn, let me just interrupt for 1 minute. You must understand that I am not defending what she said.
I appreciate that. I think we both do.
Right. Was horrifying and appalling, and I mean, all I could think of is, what am I going to do? Start talking like that when I get to be?
You know what, Sally?
Old, you know?
I thought the exact same thing. It went through my mind. I hope there will be someone to protect, to save me from
That's
myself.
Right.
Should I ever have a vile thought about anybody?
Right.
Which
and,
of course
and,
I
you
don't.
Know, my parents. My father was 93 when he died, and toward the end of his life, some really awful sort of bigoted remarks would come out of his mouth. And my mother had a stroke, and she would say things that were just cringe-making. But they weren't all there.
And they weren't in front of a microphone is really what the issue is.
Yeah, and you also lose your inhibitions as you get to be older. I've just seen it happen with my parents. And it's really scary. I'm saying is that someone should have stepped in several years ago. In fact, a lot of people in Washington and the White House have been saying, you know, Helen, it really is time for her to step down. But they wouldn't because she was this character, and they wanted to use her.
Well, but you can make the same argument about Don Imus. I mean, would we be talking this way about the Rush Limbaugh if he did the same thing?
Because they're not 90 years old.
Right. Once you get to that point, let's talk a little bit about the better part of that 90 years. Mm-hmm. She really opened doors for women in the press corps in Washington.
Unbelievable. I mean, she was the most generous and most welcoming of anybody. I mean, you know, rather than see women as competitors and wanting to hold that position for herself, she welcomed women and fought for women the whole time. I mean, she's had an amazing career.
And what happens when, you know, I have a friend who says my obit is already written. In other words, No matter how much she does, the second line of the obit will always be whatever. Is this now, has her obit been written?
I'm afraid at this point in her life, there's not much she can do to get rid of this. You know, I mean, she can say over and over, you know, how sorry she is. But the fact is that was her gut reaction. You know, that was the gut reaction of the person who said this. And as I keep saying, it wasn't my Helen Thomas who said this.
All right. Sally Quinn, longtime Washington Post column. Stay with us. We'll talk a little bit more. And let's remember some of the sweeter moments about Helen Thomas.
Thank you.
Ms. Helen Thomas.
Starting with Ms. Thomas.
Helen, this is my inaugural moment here.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.